Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Keith Brabender, and this show is called Old and New. And tonight, I'm going to talk about the State of the Union. Now, the reason I want to do this is pretty evident, and that is that obviously yesterday, our president, Mr. Obama, gave a speech in which he gave his yearly address to the Congress and the nation about what the State of the Union is. And what I would like to talk about tonight is something quite different than I've heard most of today in analyzing the State of the Union speech. I want to kind of get into the political and emotional reaction to what is a State of the Union and what does it even mean? What does the phrase mean about what is the State of the Union? I'd like to remind you, I have a novel on Amazon called A Deserted Place and a book of poetry called The Summit of Things. You can get them on Kindle, or the novel on Kindle and paper, and the book The Summit of Things in paper. You can find them under my name, Keith Brabender, or the name of the books, A Deserted Place or The Summit of Things. And my name is Keith Brabender, and this show is Old and New. The State of the Union. So the yearly event we have, and somehow it's supposed to show us give us a sense of the condition of the country. It's become, like many other things in politics, too much of a public spectacle. And according to what I heard this morning from various radio stations I was flipping around on, not that many people watched it. But at the same time, it's important because of the concept. And the concept is the state of the union. What condition are we in? What is the condition of the country? And I think this question is what's how should I put this correctly? I think this question is basically the entire format of almost every conservative talk show on radio, from Hannity to Rush Limbaugh to all the other members of the conservative community that want to get on the air every day and explain the world to us. What they're talking about in a very real way is their interpretation condition of the country. Now, these conditions are described in different terms, and what I think is relevant to discuss here is that there are three major categories, I think, that they talk about a lot. And Mr. Obama was pretty much trapped, I think, into the same situation. You have these large categories that people find themselves using. So for me, there are three that matter I'm going to talk about in this show. And the one is the psychological condition. The other is the spiritual condition. And the third one is the practical condition. And that is usually related to the economy and war. When people watch the State of the Union speech, they want to hear what the president wants to do. And normally what he has to do is, this is the progression of these speeches. In order to fix a problem, you have to admit there is a problem. And since people think that the president's job is to actually fix the problems of the country, we all have to mutually agree on what the problems are. And if that's the case, then what we have to come up with is an answer, or to see if we have an agreement about what we think the actual problems of the country are. It doesn't do any good to pretend that you're going to fix something if you don't really think it's a problem. And I've actually seen this before. I've seen this where people pretend they have an argument. I saw this on the William Buckley Show one time, where a guy came on and they were arguing about the problems of campaign contributions, and the guests looked at everybody and said, well, there is no problem with campaign contributions. So I don't really understand what they're arguing about. Let's see what's going on here. Hello? Hello? Are you on?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, hello. This is, I'm from Fairfield Township. Great. And I just thought I'd mention
I'm having a very, very hard time. I'm having a really hard time understanding what you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
A lot
Hello?
Better,
yeah,
yes.
I'm having problems with Obama and his opening the borders to the illegal aliens. And I had wondered, as far as to speak about the value of farmland, it's probably devalued a lot because we won't have anybody to work it. And the future
right.
of the future of the people, the black folks and white folks, and everybody else that is going to suffer from this for many decades and years to come.
Well, I think your point is that, and I was going to get to this, I think that what happens in the issues is that what people do is they categorize issues into different categories. And I think the complicated matter with the immigration issue is that the immigration issue revolves both around practical problems and what are considered to be the spiritual and moral problems of a country. You know, if you're talking about farming and you're talking about this kind of thing, these are practical economic things. But when people
right.
talk about immigration, what they want to talk about are the aliens wanting a better life. They want to talk about the high-end idea of freedom. They want to talk about the high issues. And if that's the case, then you've got a mixture of different avenues, and I think it makes it very complicated to have an intelligent discussion about it if you don't agree on the premise you're working from. Whenever I hear the left talk about immigration, it's always a spiritual problem. That's why the churches are involved in it. But when I hear people on the right talk about it, it's much more practical.
All right. Yeah.
So where do you come down on this?
Well, okay, as far as in the future and the future generations with the people crossing the border and basically taking jobs and such and so forth, how is that going to affect them? It's probably not going to be a very good effect.
And, well, I agree. And I think your point's well taken. I just think that the thing about it is, in the State of the Union addresses, the point is that the President of the United States is required to lay out what the problems are, not just what the solutions are. And I don't really know if Obama believes that the illegal aliens are technically a problem. I think he kind of thinks that they're a positive and that they're very good and that the problem is the people who don't want to recognize them as good. You see what I'm saying? He had a lady there last night with Mrs. Obama or somebody there who was an illegal alien and was a guest of the Mrs. Obama to sit next to her. So here you have a person attending the speech who technically is committing a crime but under the law.
Right.
But we're not supposed to think about it that way.
Right.
So I think it's a very interesting problem.
It would be interesting to see what Premier think about people coming across from like Ethiopia or whatever, coming across the Russian borders into Russian places. Wonder how he would.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know. I completely understand your point. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to solve this problem, or do you think it's just going to keep going on the way it is?
Well, I think we're going to slowly becoming victims of this yearly, and it's going to get worse. Many of the drug cartel affiliates are probably already in the nation, and it's going to be bad, and it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling. I want to get back to what I was in the middle of talking about.
Okay, this is Mike Mathis from Cincinnati, Ohio, and everybody have a wonderful evening. Okay, I'll see you later.
Oh, my God. Is it really you,
How
buddy?
You yeah, it's me. It's old Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I can't believe it's you. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a long time. Well, it's great to hear from you.
Okay, buddy.
Thank
I'll let you.
You
back to your show. Okay, buddy. See you.
Thanks. Bye. Now, what I'm going to get back to here is this notion of the three categories. And actually, he brought up a very good point, and that is when you listen to a State of the Union address, many people listen to it for a specific kind of thing. They don't listen to all of it. They're not necessarily concerned about every issue in the speech. It just could very well be that there are other specific issues that they're interested in, or one issue. And that's what concerns them when they hear it. I think the point I wanted to make is if you deal with the psychological, the spiritual, and you deal with the idea of the practical, this is where I think trying to come up with a definition of what the condition of the union is very difficult. Because very often the argument is that a country, very often when it's criticized, some of the criticisms of a country are very nebulous and have more to do with the psychology and the spiritual nature of the country than a very practical situation. So to make this more evident, I'll give you an example of it. The war in Iraq has almost become a spiritual failure. When the war in Iraq started, it started out as a situation where we failed because we didn't send enough men, or we didn't spend enough money, or we didn't have a strategy. But now there are people who say that this way it's talked about as like a moral spiritual failure on the part of the West, that it made a decision to invade a country out of very bad motives, and the motives themselves were wrong. And since the motives were wrong and the outlook was wrong, it was doomed to failure from the beginning. And now we have this catastrophe. I mean, this utter catastrophe of what's going on in Iraq and Syria. I read a report yesterday from a pretty good couple different sources that say today there are more refugees in the world than there have been since World War II. That the number of people who are displaced and being killed in these wars and the number of destruction that we've done to these societies is just unbelievable. And it's just almost to the point where it's incalculable. Now, one of the main things I want to talk about tonight, and I think this is the most important idea of the State of the Union, and that is how you view it in these three terms as far as a projection, as far as what you think is coming. And here's why. If you listen to the way that people speak about the condition of the United States, a lot of it revolves around the same psychology, in my opinion, as personal health. Now, that's not an odd thing to say, because I'm going to explain it. When I was reading a lot of religious material when I was young, there was a guy named Zwingli who was a Swiss theologian. And Zwingli believed that the condition of a good religious life was psychological health. That if you practiced your religion correctly, that you would have a life that was psychologically healthy. You would have a good relationship to your society, a good relationship to your spouse, a good relationship to your children, with these kinds of things. And what I would state with you is a country has this kind of can be described in the same way. Now, the point is that the Republican Party and the conservatives in particular argue that what the American society is at the moment is a society that is very similar in analogy to a person's health in this way. I went to watch a football game the other day, and the people that I happened to have gone to watch the football game with were a group of people that smoked and drank a lot. And there were a couple of men there, probably in their 30s, who I think in the 3 hours the game was on, probably never had more than 30 seconds when they weren't smoking a cigarette. It was just nonstop. And they were drinking constantly, too. If you saw them on the street, they would look really healthy. They were thin. They were in good shape. They worked outside all day. They did heavy labor, and they gave the appearance of being in really good health. But the argument could be made that what they're doing to themselves now in their excessive smoking and drinking will eventually ruin them when they're 60, if they make it that far. This is the conservative argument about the condition of the country. I can have Obama tell me that things were better now than they are in 07, which he did last night, and I can have him tell me that we're doing okay and that the middle class is a little bit better off than it used to be and things are good here or good there. But if you do the projections to the future of the country, the fact of the matter is there's a lot of serious problems, because if you read the stats, they're terrifying. I mean, there are statistics out now where if you include Social Security and welfare benefits, over 150 million people are receiving a government benefit. And there's only 89 million people in the country that have a full-time job. You're almost doubling the number of people collecting a government benefit as you are in relation to anybody who's working. And it's going to get worse. The number of people on food stamps is like way higher, 10 or 20 million, depending on who you ask. The wages are flat. The debt is colossal because we are just spending all this money. So if you tell me the patient looks okay now, it doesn't tell me anything about what it's going to look like in 30 years if you do the projections. And I think this goes back to my three categories. People are saying that the condition we're in is that the country may physically have survived the recession. And it's still here. You know, we have a country and you drive around and there's people living in homes and they go to baseball games and all that kind of thing. We still have a country. But at the same time, we are living in a country that's having serious psychological and spiritual problems. Because we're allowing ourselves to become a country where more people don't work than work, and people don't seem to think there's anything unusual about this. We're fighting wars. We run all these imperialist wars overseas. We're running this massive empire. We have an economy that's very stagnant for the middle-class people. And the point about it is that we have all these things going on. And the truth of the matter is we have to figure out whether or not you can fix the problems of the economy and the practical problems if you can't fix the spiritual problems and the psychological problems. This is it. This is the thing that I think matters the most. It matters to me, and when you're talking about the State of the Union, as to whether or not you think it is the moral condition of a country that is the most important. And the question is, how does the president fix that? What in the world does the executive leader of the country do when you tell him that the problem of the country is now spiritual and moral or psychological? I mean, if you were to tell him that, what's he going to do about it? I mean, he's not a preacher, and he can't run around converting people. But if you listen to the speeches that the presidents and the politicians give, they always are talking about the spiritual and moral side. They talk about, we're a great country, we have great initiatives, we want people to be able to do things, we want this, we want that, we're a nation of strivers, we're unique, we're the ones who are the ones that everybody else admires. And in that case, you're emphasizing the spiritual and the psychological. But my point would be, it's on the practical end of it, what do you do? What do you do? In the sense that a president's job is very often to talk about numbers and figures. So what the president does is he reverses this. And I think that this is really a big deal. What Barack Obama did last night is he decided to tell everybody that if they go ahead and pay for your college education, which is a practical nuts and bolts thing, he's going to take $60 billion or whatever the figure is over so many years and pay for everybody's education, then that will make you a better person. He's going to improve your spiritual and psychological condition by spending money and putting it into the economy. He's going to give you a spend money on a health plan. And if you get a health plan, that will make you psychologically and spiritually a better person. And that is going to make a better condition for you. But this doesn't really tell us necessarily whether or not that is going to work, obviously. But it doesn't always tell us exactly where the condition of the country is, because how does the president know what the spiritual condition of the country is? I mean, this is a very difficult question. How, in a sense, how would I know? So what you end up doing in politics is you end up working off a certain number of basic assumptions, and you think that if these assumptions are true, then you project them out, and this is how you're going to fix the problem. So in my opinion, the president of the United States last night, as the president, was in a very paradoxical position or a very contradictory position. And this is the condition he was in. He wanted to tell us last night that everything is better than it was in 08, and that's well and good. But at the same time, he's also telling us that there's all these terrible things that have to be fixed because there's so many things that are not good. So you've got the same old problem. On the one side, you've got a president and a politician who wants to reinforce the greatness of the country. He wants to tell you how wonderful it is. He wants to tell you that we're the greatest country in the world and we're the most ambitious and that we know more than anything else about what's going on. But the point about it is, on the other hand, he has all these things he wants to introduce in order to make everybody think that he's going to fix this stuff because there's so many terrible problems out there. What he doesn't want to do is undo what he's done. And that's the other thing he brought up. And this is something that politicians hate. They don't want to undo what they've done, even if other people think they did the wrong thing. So I think my basic point to this show would be that what Barack Obama represented last night is the fundamental question that always hangs, that kind of haunts these situations. And that is the condition of the union, the state of the union, is the condition that it's in a reflection of the condition of the population, or is it a failure of the government? And I don't think that question has truly been answered. And I think it's because of the really complicated relationship between the two. Now, what do I mean by this? Very often in a country, when it's failing and there are a lot of bad situations, the politicians will say that it's the population itself that failed them. That our society is failing, that we are no longer ambitious, that we no longer get married, that we're not having kids, that there's just not the drive and the energy in the country that you could argue we had in 1945. I'm just throwing that out as an example. On the other hand, there is the tendency for the population very often to think of itself as being fundamentally good, and what has failed them is the government. And I think the underlying premise last night of the entire State of the Union address that I got from Obama, and I'm reading into it, and I think this is what bothered me the most, was that he never gave an indication to me that the government has failed us. He seems to think that he's somehow the government basically succeeded, and that somehow he's just going to keep doing great things. But if you listen to all the statistics I just gave you, and you look at the conspiratorial, psychological, and practical condition of the country, for a lot of people, it's not good. It's really bad. Poverty rates are high. Incomes are bad. There's just nothing good going on. And I think this is a very serious difficulty, is to describe how the country is working. And I think the whole point would be, if I could make my point, I don't think there was an answer to this in the State of the Union last night. he tried to argue that people were in predicaments when he wanted to pay for their college. But I would argue with you that that doesn't answer the problem. The fundamental problem is, more than anything, is whether or not the government failed in the last 8 years to do what it should have done. And that what happened is Obama simply doesn't see it as a failure. I'm going to give a very brief summary of what I mean by this, and I think the hint in this last night had to do with this idea. When he became president in 08 and everything tanked and the banking system went to hell in a handbasket, as the expression goes, he saved Wall Street. That's what he did for 3 years, is he basically did everything he could to salvage the Wall Street system, and he did that. And he made the rich people a whole lot richer, and he kept Wall Street intact, and he really didn't do much about a lot of the other stuff. On the other hand, what he talked about last night was trying to salvage the middle class. And what's interesting to me is the people he's trying to save now are the very people you could argue that he ruined when he saved Wall Street. So I think he placed himself, in my opinion, in a very historically terrible predicament. If you want to look at it in these terms, he's like a guy who hit somebody with a car, and now he's going to be benevolent because he's going to try to pay for the guy's hospital bills. When he allowed the banking system and the Wall Street system to do to the country what it did between 08 and 2011, and he kept them intact, and he didn't arrest anybody, and he let the whole thing go, and he salvaged it and didn't fundamentally change the system, yet that's what, in many ways, not solely, but that's one of the fundamental reasons the middle class was wrecked. And now he's telling us that he wants to spend the next 2 years saving them. But he's the one that wrecked them in the first place, or helped do it because of his way he viewed it. So in my opinion, if I had to give you a definition of what I think the condition of the State of the Union is, I think the State of the Union right now is in a condition of people not understanding how they ended up where they did, if what he's telling them is true. He's telling them that he saved us all. That's what he's telling us. He's telling us that the country was going to go completely dead, and he, as the President of the United States, in conjunction with the members of his own staff and the cabinet members, basically saved us from an utter ruin. But 6 years later, after this 08 debacle, or 7 years now, six or seven, people were wondering if he actually did save us, or if what he did is he saved the wrong people. And now he's trying to go to the people he supposedly saved and tell them, well, now I am going to save you. I might not have saved you before, but I'm going to do it now. When he said in his speech that there's a lot of people in the country who are still hurting and they're not doing it that well, what he's really saying is that this whole rescue operation he went into had nothing to do with them. And as much as people criticize a guy like Sean Hannity, I was driving yesterday in my car and listening to the radio, and Hannity came on, and this is what Hannity was basically saying. And I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but what he said made perfect sense. You know, this guy was on there saying, well, the stock market's doing well. And Hannity kept saying, the stock market's not for the average person. It hasn't helped them. The stock market's at its all-time peak, and yet there's no money being made by the middle class. They don't exist anymore. And this is an example of saving one system but not saving the other. And I think that if I, again, was to put my summary on the State of the Union as a kind of closing here, Barack Obama understands the fact that if the middle class isn't saved, the union is going to be 20 years from now. There might not be anything left that even resembles the union that we think the state we're supposed to have. An America without a middle class, and an America with a massive amount of poor and a very few number of rich, is a throwback to a third world situation. It is not what is supposed to be the State of the Union as far as the most advanced civilized, what is described as the most advanced and civilized country in the world, and it certainly isn't what we want. Thank you very much. I'm out of time again, and it's been interesting to do a show in the evening. I don't do very many of them. Have a great night. Bye.